This is the Real Magic Podcast. Learn about great design and use it to get great results. Now your hosts, Greg Merrilees and Alan Nunez.
Hello, listener, and thank you for joining Alan and I today for the Real Magic Design Podcast, where we try to unpack our experience to help designers and business owners understand how to create amazing designs and work together to make design that is profitable. I'm Greg from Studio1Design.com, and here's my partner, my co-host, not really my partner, but Big Al from PixelPartnersHQ.com.
G'day, Greggles. How you doing today, mate?
Went a bit over the top then. Feeling good, obviously.
I know. Well, we were starting the pre-recording with a little bit of giggles, you know, so I thought I'd call you Greggles just for something a little bit different.
I used to get called that by the girls in my high school, man. And yeah, not many guys call me that, but you can do that. That's all good.
Oh, thanks, sweetheart.
What's happening, Al?
Mate, today we have an interesting topic. Look, it's not exactly design related, but it's definitely something that is pertinent in the life of business owners and the business of running a design studio, which is email, you know, and the title of this podcast is Email is the Enemy. Now, we're going to go into a more little bit more detail, and it is something that's a little close to my heart at the moment because I've had some frustration with email overload, and I bet you any money listener, you're sitting there thinking, yes, I know that feeling. Before we get into the topic, Greg, what have you been up to this week?
Really, I just had a quiet week. We're just planning our next holiday, so I think we talk about this a lot. Yeah, this time I'm going to visit the team in the Philippines, and we're also going to take a family vacation over there as well because I hear there's some beautiful resorts there. I've never been there myself, so don't know what to expect.
There are some lovely resorts, some beautiful snorkeling and scuba diving if you're into that kind of thing, but you'll have an absolute great time. So,
cool. What have you been up to?
I have been swamped with emails, funnily enough. And
hence the topic.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because the mental load that is lifted when I got it back under control is phenomenal. You know, it's amazing what one simple thing in business life can how much pressure that one thing can put on you mentally if it's not well managed and under control, you know. So why don't we get into this topic and work out why email is the enemy?
Yeah, absolutely. Why do you say it's the enemy?
Look, I genuinely believe that email is a productivity killer. You know, I think that it's a great business communication tool. It leaves a paper trail. It has all these wonderful benefits. But I think that in some cases, it's not used respectfully. I think if you don't keep it under control, I mean, if you imagine most people's inboxes, right, can potentially have hundreds, if not thousands of emails in their mailbox weekly. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine if those were printed letters. Imagine what it would be like working at your desk with that stack of paper, trying to sift through it and work out what's important and what's not. So, you know, to me, it's not a physical clutter like you would have with letters, but it's a mental clutter.
Do you see your inbox as your to-do list?
No, I don't, no. And that's part of the procedures that I have in place to manage my email, although recently I let those procedures slip.
I see the inbox as somebody else's to-do list.
No, well, you know what? We've got a friend that calls it the to-do list that other people add to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it can very well be that. And I mean, email is, like I said, it's an important part of business today. But I think there's a ton of things that you can do to minimize how much time you waste in email. I mean, both you and I use Rescue Time as a tool. Yep. We've talked about it before. It basically runs in the background and tracks what you're doing on your computer through the week and sends you a report at the end of the week. And, you know, one of the metrics in there is communication and scheduling, right? And then it breaks it down by app. So, I mean, do you recall on your last couple of rescue times how much time you spent in your mail?
Yeah, about 9 hours.
9 hours. And what percentage of your work week is that?
It is a lot, like 25%, something like that.
Yeah, and you know what? That's probably pretty low compared to most. I mean, I'm talking about relevance to me right now, you mm-hmm. know, and I try and keep my communication and scheduling, and I guess we should be clear that communication and scheduling in rescue time does include other things like Skype and Slack and other communication tools. But, you know, if I go over 20 to 25% of my work week doing that, it's a warning for me. You know, I wonder why I'm spending so much time in there, you know.
Okay.
So when my rescue times were coming through saying, you know, 34%, 38%, that was and I could look at it and I knew that it was having an impact on my work week. I was drowning in unnecessary work that was coming in through my mailbox.
Sure.
So that's why I think it's the enemy. I think it's a productivity killer, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So what are some things you've done to reduce email overload?
Well, look, I think there's two sides to this. One is email overload, right? And the other is the best way to manage your email, right? So I think email overload comes in the form of having all your communication via your inbox, right? And not respecting your time and filtering what's coming in. And then I think there's also, you know, training your customers, your staff, and anybody else you interact with to use email respectfully. You know, the people that CC everybody on every email just in case.
Oh, it's so annoying.
It is frustrating. And look, you can't manage what everybody does, but you could within your own team, whether it be a virtual team or not, right?
But I do actively tell, you know, let's say if I collaborating with a copywriter or somebody else on one of our clients' designs, and they'll respectfully, what they think is respectfully, will CC me to let me know that they're actively working with that client on that topic. But to me, I always tell them, look, thanks, but please keep me out of the emails. I don't need to know that stuff. Just send us the final result when you need to send it to the team, you know. That's it. But I like to let them know.
Yeah, and look, it's the same with me. I'll actually specify if I need to know at some point in the process. So, you know, at the end of the process, please CC me on your final draft, for example, right?
Okay, sure.
And if they do start CCing on every interaction, I will reply back to that person saying, look, I don't need to be CC'd on this, just let me know at the end. So you can do it politely, you know, but I think...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one example. I mean, the other examples are things like notifications from various apps, you know, whether it be Facework, project management apps, invoicing apps. Then there's, you know, the constant content communication that comes from either mailing lists that you're signed up for, whether you chose to be signed up on them or not. And then there's also, you know, product updates that come from things that you're already using. You know, if you're using Adobe, they're going to send you update information. So there's this huge amount of stuff. And what happens, I think, with most people is it just lands in the inbox, which means that person has to physically sit there and filter through that on a daily basis, you know. And even if you only spent 10 minutes a day extra doing it, it's still 10 minutes that you probably don't need and you could probably combine, you know. So how about this, right? I think we get the picture of the fact that email boxes can get out of control, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just bounce a couple of things, you and I, of what we do on a daily basis to manage those emails. And I think the first one that I can think of that I know both you and I have done over the last couple of years is we've isolated our internal communication by using a third-party app, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so we both use Slack. Now, Greg, why do you love Slack?
Well, it eliminates email altogether, you know? Like, basically, it's the way that we communicate amongst our team members to discuss projects. I mean, we do have a project management system and we do have an email system for dealing with the clients, but internally, just little conversations backwards and forwards, you can create group chats amongst, you know, certain people that you want to have included in that group. You can do individual chats. It's kind of like Skype, but on steroids.
Well, the thing I love about it is that on Skype, if you want to have a group chat, you have to receive a ping or a notification for every message that's sent.
Yeah.
So if you've got 18 people in that chat and everybody's collaborating, you know, and everybody makes one comment three times a day, that's 60 notifications just on that one chat.
Mm-hmm.
So the nice thing with Slack is that you don't have to be notified. So you can enter and leave groups very easily, right? And you can also mute channels. So you can have access to the thread. You can click on it once a day and have a look at what's going on in the thread, but you don't need to see the chatter between people if it's not relevant to you.
Exactly. Another thing I use Slack for is to receive notifications if one of my favorite podcasts release a new episode, for instance, like we do with The Real Magic.
Yeah, so it's using an RSS feed, which you could do in your mailbox, but again, this takes it out of your inbox.
Exactly. And yeah, it's there because I want my team to be notified when a new episode of our podcast is released, for instance.
That's right. You know, so what it does, though, is it isolates the messaging, and the team know that if they need me to contribute or anybody to contribute in one of these group threads, that they need to use the direct message function where they, you know, put @Alan and it will then notify me. Even though I've got that channel muted, if there's something direct to me, it will notify me. And what it means is instead of getting 100 emails a day on chatter or Skype messages going ballistic and then filtering through to see if there's anything for me, I only get a message when I need it, right? And I know that's going to come from one of the team leaders, or it's going to come from Rick, my operations manager, or it's going to come from Vivian, my client services manager, right? Because they're the ones that need to ask me direct questions, and they use it respectfully. They don't at me or CC, the equivalent of CC me on every message that goes on. Right. And then that means that my Skype now changes the dynamic of the way I use that. It's only there for customer calls or messages across different time zones.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, that's cool. Just to touch on another tool that we both use, is Help Scout. And so Help Scout is like an alternative to email, and we use it for our design team to liaise with our clients. So once again, it eliminates me having to do it. And that's part of the solution, is to get your team to take care of certain aspects, so it once again frees up your email. But what they do in Help Scout is all the backwards and forwards with a client. And what it does, it brings all of the emails that are associated with that client into one thread. That's the problem with just general email, is that you might have four or five or more, different emails relating to the same topic, and it just gets way out of hand over time.
Look, absolutely. I mean, I've got an example from a couple of weeks ago of a project that we were trying to coordinate, and unfortunately, we've got a number of contacts in China, and a lot of these messaging apps don't work well, or the project management apps don't work well in China, and they weren't doing it through our normal job process. So what happened was we had a half a dozen people putting input into this multifaceted job, and I ended up with 120 emails.
Wow.
Right, for something that could have been in a simple single thread in either Help Scout or Teamwork or Slack.
Yeah, right? 100%.
And I got to the point where I couldn't work out what information fit where in the thread, because it wasn't like each person was replying after the next person replied.
Yeah.
You would get five people reply to one email and then five people reply to the reply of that email and so on. So you lose the chronological context of the conversation.
Yeah. So, what I love about Help Scout is you can merge. If you do find people start new threads or new emails, essentially, you can merge those emails together and it'll put it into the right time, date, order.
Let's quickly talk about Help Scout, because, it's got some great functionality. And I think a lot of business owners don't think about using a tool like Help Scout. And there's other ones out there. I mean, we use Zendesk for quite a while. Teamwork have one now, Teamwork Help. But they're considered help desk ticket systems.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of businesses go, well, I don't have a help desk, right? But the way you and I use it, we actually use it as a job ticket system. So, I mean, I know with us, people send an email to orders@pixelpartnershq.com and that triggers a Help Scout ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then we assign it and then it is managed from there. So every email that goes back and forwards to the customer stays within the single thread. So the person managing it can see all the information.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like you say, if they inadvertently reply to the wrong thread or they just start a new email that's related to that particular job, they can just merge it together.
Yeah, so true. And you can have various people managing the same email address but as a different user. So, there might be Bob and Mary, for instance, and they've got different roles and they might be communicating with the client, you know, about different things, but the client will only have one email to reply to, which makes it a lot easier for the client. And they know exactly, because Help Scout will, if let's say Bob replies, it'll say, you know, it's from Bob. If Mary replies, it'll say it's from Mary. So it's just such a good tool.
Absolutely. And it gives you some redundancy. So if one of your, like in my case, if one of my project managers was away, the other project manager can see what's been assigned to them and pick it up, read the thread, know which customer it's for, and simply reply, and it will continue the thread.
That's right. So you don't need to set up an individual email for every person in your business. You just go to Help Scout and you just have support at, or like you said, orders at.
That's right. Customers have learned that all emails for jobs go to orders at.
Yeah. So it's a very, very good tool for reducing email clutter, that's for sure. It's an amazing tool. Another really good feature of Help Scout is you can have saved replies. I'm sure you use them too, but you know, the beauty of that is we have probably a dozen in there of saved replies that, you know, it's something that you would commonly use. You don't have to type it out again. You have to copy and paste it from another, you know, app or anything. You just literally go to save replies, select the one, and it just populates an email. You just customize it to suit.
Oh, look, templates, save replies. I mean, you can actually do that in Gmail as well, which is really helpful. Anything to reduce the amount of time you're spending communicating puts you back in control of working on your business, not in your business.
Mm.
So another example of this sort of threaded communication rather than email is a project management software. So I think your team use
Basecamp.
We use Teamwork. We have used Basecamp in the past, and the team's also used Asana in the past. So there's a bunch of them out there.
How do you use it? Like, how's that different to use an email?
Okay, so again, it's threaded communication and it's task-based. So say we have a job to design a new piece of packaging, or there's 10 pieces of packaging that we've got. We will make a task for each of those 10 items, and then internally, every time we update the job or a piece of work is done, it goes into that thread.
Now, same as us.
The advantage of Teamwork, say, for example, over Help Scout or Slack with that is that it does allow you to log time. It allows you to keep all the attachments together in the thread. So we actually have a mirrored system where there's a client project list in Teamwork, but there's also a channel for chatter in Slack, right? So the relevant milestones and parts of the job that are complete that we need to have recorded go in there into Teamwork. And when they're just discussing, you know, should I be using blue or should I be using gray? Do you think the contrast is right? That can all happen in Slack. It can happen in 3 minutes, and it doesn't need to go back and forwards with notifications or emails or anything like that.
Exactly. So just on that, so we use, you know, Basecamp. So if somebody sends a message in Basecamp, you know, I will be email notified.
Notified.
I'll be notified, you know, via email. So in a sense, it is bringing emails into your inbox, but I have it automatically redirect into a folder that I can attend to later.
Well, see, this is the thing, right? We're talking specifically, I mean, we talk about email being bad, but one thing is trying to make it easy for you to review the information. The other thing then is managing the email, which is kind of what you're talking about. Because Teamwork does the same thing. It sends notifications, right? But you can use your email browser, whether you use Google Apps for Business, whether you use Outlook, and you can set rules and filters to say, well, if this comes in, mark it as unread and put it over here in this folder, and I'll review it once a day.
That's right. Or however often you want. But, yeah, it doesn't clutter your inbox. That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you can actually opt out of notifications. And Teamwork is one of those ones where you've got to tick who you want notified. And if the first person notified everybody, then everybody after that gets notified. So, again, I've trained my team to stop and look and say, well, hang on a minute. The boss needed to be notified because we triggered the job because he requested the job, but he doesn't need to see the next 10 messages, and we will just tick him when it's relevant for him to take over.
Spot on. Yeah, we do the same.
Yeah. So again, it's just that's kind of goes back to the respectful use of CCing people on emails.
Yeah. And do you invite clients into Teamwork?
Yes. Look, it depends on the client. We have some clients that are in Teamwork, and that does help a lot. Again, it keeps all the threads together. They like it. They can log in on one screen, see all the tasks list, see all the tasks, and see where they are in progress. Click in, see the messages. So, but for Pixel Partners, Help Scout is our core communication tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. What else do you do to reduce the email or manage your email?
Look, we sort of touched on this before, which is how you manage your inbox. There's just one other tool that both you and I use that I think is well worth mentioning and definitely has an impact on your email, which is Schedule Once.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right. 100%. Which is an appointment scheduling software. Now it connects to your Google Apps calendar or whatever business level calendar that you're using. And you can predefine the size of the appointments that are available and whether they're physical appointments or phone calls. I mean, you and I use them for phone calls and Skype calls across different time zones. And it allows you to send one link to a customer and say, you book yourself in at 2 p.m. No, I'm not available at Friday. How about Monday, 9 a.m.? No. Yep. What about Wednesday? And you can send six emails.
Yeah.
Just when you're coordinating with one person. If you're trying to coordinate with five, it's even worse. Mm-hmm. So that's just another little side tip is if you have to make customer phone calls or customers need to talk to you on a regular basis, have them book themselves into your calendar. You'll get a notification. It'll auto put it into your calendar. It'll make sure it doesn't double book anything. It's a fabulous tool.
Yeah, I love that tool, man. Cool. What other tools do you have or what other techniques?
So we've talked about a bunch of tools, yeah. Have we forgotten anything? So we've talked about Help Scout, Teamwork, Basecamp, Slack, Skype. I mean, people use Google Hangouts and chats. A lot of these things, again, they just keep your communication simple. But when it comes to my inbox, I've become really dependent on filtering, right? I mean, Gmail or Google Apps for Business, they're called filters. But I think in other apps, they might be called rules. So filtering and unsubscribing. You know, I make sure that anything that I don't have to see daily doesn't sit in my inbox. So I have a number of people that I'm on their email lists, and I really enjoy the information and the content they send, and it's very relevant, but I don't need to see it every day. So I have a folder called email broadcasts. So if I have to archive or move something twice in my mailbox, I create a filter for it and I put it in an appropriate folder, right? Mm-hmm. Teamwork, I do the same thing. All my Teamwork notifications go into a separate folder and I view it once a day, twice a day, whatever's required. So that helps me keep my email box clean and I unsubscribe. If I don't need to be on it, I unsubscribe. I mean, all these emails that send you specials and offers from shopping, there's always going to be a special or offer. You've just got to Google for it.
That's
You don't need it arriving in
your
mailbox.
But really smart marketers that send emails will give you the choice, you know, at the bottom of their footer, manage your email preferences. Then you go in there and you can select if you want it daily or weekly or whatever they offer. And that's much smarter so you don't annoy people with daily emails if they don't want them.
And look, please be a smart marketer. I've had in the last 2 weeks, I've had no less than 10 people that I've met at events and handed them a business card who have added me to their email list, right? Mm. Handing a business card over doesn't give you permission to put somebody on your email list. Be respectful and ask them, I send out weekly reports on accounting. Would you like to get those emails?
Yeah, you got it. Awesome, man. Well, that's great. I think we've given a good wrap on you know, why email's the enemy and how to reduce it. So what's your killer tip for the week?
Look, there's just one thing, I think, which is how you actually deal with your emails in your inbox. And it's not something that we mentioned. We mentioned about reducing the clutter. I think what's really important, and this is something I learned from James Schramko and Peter Moriarty, and especially Peter Moriarty, who I want to put a big shout out to, is triaging your mail. So that your actual physical inbox pretty much only has between 0 and 10 emails at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
And what that basically means is very quickly make a decision. Do I need to reply to this email? Is there any action needed? So if I need to reply to it, if I can within a few seconds, just reply and deal with it. If it does need action, move it into a folder called actions and then deal with those actions in at a grouped time when I have time to sit there and spend a few hours actioning items. And if it doesn't need to be actioned, archive it.
Nice.
I mean, you can search for archive email. Google has pretty much unlimited archives.
You don't need to go and delete emails anymore.
Yeah, and the search functionality is great. So it's really easy to retrieve it if you need to get it back. So my tip is, apart from reducing your email, try and find a system that works. I'm pretty sure if you go to Peter Moriarty's site for IT Genius or do a search for Inbox Relief, you will find he's got a great training course that runs you through how to use Gmail specifically or Google Apps for Business to triage your mails and manage it really, really well. What about you? What's your killer tip?
Well, that's, itgenius.com.au for Peter. Yeah, for me, look, I'm going to just say just turn your email off. At least turn it off, you know, overnight, right? Don't even look at it from, you know, after dinner till just before breakfast, for instance. But even throughout the day, try turn it off and try just looking at it in at certain time frames, you know. Allow yourself an allocated time slot to check your emails maybe twice a day and just see how much more productive you are with your email being turned off.
Oh, my God, Greg, we forgot two really important things. We're just talking about notifications.
Yeah.
Right. So firstly, on that note that Greg just mentioned, turn your email pop-up notifications off. You don't need them. They're just going to distract you when you're doing other work, right? I guess that's achieved if you quit out of your email. But also, too, on Slack, you can actually set automatic do not disturb times. So it won't send you notifications, for example, between 5:30 p.m. and 8 a.m. the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to turn it on and off. It just does it by itself. iPhones and smartphones have the same functionality. You can put yourself onto do not disturb and you won't get all the notifications during that period. So notifications, turn them off.
Great tip. What's the other one?
Well, I was going to say notifications, then automate the notifications, you know, so that you're not seeing them pop up on your screen every 10 minutes when a new email comes in.
Nice. Awesome, man. Well, yeah, some great tips in this episode. So, listener, we hope you enjoyed it.
Email is not really the enemy. It just needs to be done well. Thank you, listener, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Real Magic Podcast. Hear more at therealmagic.com.